Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, thanks very much for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, as was announced, and we're here with another episode of Study, Grow, Know. This one's called Silver Linings to CV. Well, let's talk about it. The article I'd like to talk about, or the episode that we're going to introduce, of course, has a number of links for your research. So you'll want to note that, and you'll want to look at those things very carefully. Now, as a reminder, the inclusion of these links does not imply a tacit approval of everything stated or the people stating them. I want to be clear on that. Use wisdom and discernment. I put that information together for you so that you can kind of find things in one place and then go from there to continue your own research that you want to find. All right, well, receiving the flu vaccine was something that people did to protect themselves from potentially getting the flu in the years past. Remember that? The flu vaccine used in 1 year, though, was normally based on the flu illness from the previous year. This is how they were able to make an updated flu vaccine, but it was still a year old. Since the flu is always in society and always changing, each new flu season with a new variant emerges, infects, and often kills a lot of people. Now, I've never heard of people receiving the flu vaccine in order to save other people's lives. Have you? It simply wasn't part of the narrative before. But it has become part of the narrative now with respect to masks and the CV injection. We've all heard PSAs stating that my mask protects you and your mask protects me. This is completely asinine, especially if we consider Dr. Anthony Fauci's words, statements, and in his own private emails. But of course, the MSM has taken over 3,000 of those emails and relegated them to the dustbin, calling them mainly things that conspiracy theorists enjoy. Well, there's a lot of truth in Fauci's words, and if you've ever taken the time to read them, I think you know that. Yet, as highlighted in one of the links that I've listed, it's called Masking, a Careful Review of the Evidence. It appears that Fauci's private emails were far more truthful than his public comments. Masks not only do not help, but they often harm. Emotional virtue signaling of wearing a mask and getting the jab is something the left sinks its teeth into for the purpose of broadcasting their alleged love for other people. But they will beat you up or be killing you or yelling at you if you don't do things their way. That's the kind of love they have. But these same people never thought once about any of that during any previous flu season. They didn't think about masking up. They didn't think about social distancing. And if they did receive the flu vaccine in those previous years, I can guarantee you it was done to protect themselves, not others. Now, I want to be very clear in stating that if people want to get the CV injections, they're free to do so. The concerning thing to me is the increase in fascism occurring throughout a global society. Did we ever shut society down during any previous flu season or pandemic, even when deaths reached 60,000 or more in the USA? No, because it was only, quote-unquote, 60,000 or so. Who cares, right? Were we ever urged to mask up during any previous flu season or previous pandemic like swine flu? No. Was the economy shut down? Were we forced to stay at home and could only shop at businesses considered essential because of the flu, and we had to do so quickly? Was there ever talk of flu vaccine passports and only allowing those with those passports into certain businesses? None of this happened. Apparently, the time wasn't ripe for it. Now, with CV and the unprecedented fear propagated over the past year and a half, too many people are truly deathly afraid of catching CV. This is in spite of the fact the illness itself has a survivability rate of 99.8% plus, depending upon your specific demographic. So all of this for a disease that most people will survive, even if they contract it. We were told by Fauci that the current warp speed vax would be about 95% effective. Okay, well, that's nearly 4% lower in efficacy than actually surviving a bout with CV. Most people, again, 99.8% plus, have a greater chance of surviving the illness without even having to receive the CV injection. And Atkinson's article above points out the vaccinations for CV provide far less protection than getting it or building immunity to it by not being vaxxed. And her article is basically Israel. Vaccination provides far less protection than previous COVID infections. That's what they just discovered in a study they did in Israel. So there's something to consider there. But of course, that stuff is downplayed. It's just downplayed. Now, in spite of all this truth, governments and businesses are now lining up mandating that employees slash customers cannot work or shop in establishments unless they show proof of receiving the CV injection. This is fascism, whether people like to say it is or isn't. Fascists always, always gain control over people and sway them with the concept of keeping them safe. Look at history. Now, I continually see ads that say how safe vaccines are, and that is extended to include CV injections. But this is dishonest. The problem is not that so many people may have died or been harmed by CV injections, as tragic as that is. The largest problem is that there are absolutely no long-term effects known about the CV injection. The trials, by the way, are happening now until January of 2023, according to Pfizer's own documents. And you can see them at their own website. Prior to the CV jab, no other vaccines use the mRNA component ever. And I think it says something loudly and clearly when the inventor of the RNA component is demanding that CV injections as a vaccine be stopped. There's something there. Well, as far back as July 2020, CDC was pushing camps or green zones for high-risk individuals for CV. And if you read their document, which I have a link to in the transcript, they literally want those they think are high-risk to be physically quarantined in some type of camp. And potentially, this could be against their will. This is more fascism, again, under the guise of safety. Now, those who opt not to take the jab should not be treated as unclean and pushed to the edges of society, limited in movement. This is criminal, in my view. The Nuremberg Code goes against it. Nature goes against it. The Bill of Rights goes against it. Yet more and more politicians and businesses are encouraging other private businesses, including hospitals, to mandate that all employees receive the CV injection. And by the way, just a thought, just an aside, consider this. If President Trump had not gotten in bed with Bill Gates and given him millions to fast-track a CV vax at warp speed, we wouldn't have the vax at this point. We'd still be waiting for it. Why didn't Bill Gates himself fund that warp speed vax, since he's the richest man in the world, apparently, or one of them? You know, God gave us an immune system, and if we do what we're supposed to do to treat our bodies correctly, to be healthy and remain healthy, that is much more than half the battle. But now we're told that herd immunity doesn't happen unless it comes from a syringe, in the case of CV. Well, whatever you choose to do, choose wisely. You cannot research these things enough, in my opinion. Do the work and find the answers. And by the way, consider this. Once you take the CV vaccination, not only can you not undo it, but you are then on the conveyor belt to get every other CV booster shot they produce. Well, by the way, a reader sent this 4-minute video of David Knight and his program. He points out a few silver linings of this whole CV mess in the video, and he's called it rejecting modern society, or are we being kicked out of society? He makes very good points. God will bless his children who are dedicated to walking in his ways, even through this difficult global time. And again, I've got a link in the transcript to that 4-minute video. Surely you have 4 minutes. Well, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The above verse that I just read is Psalm 86:11 from the New King James Version. This is a prayer every Christian should pray earnestly every day. First, the psalmist asks God to teach him his ways. Teach me your way, O Lord. The psalmist promises that if God will do so, he will walk in that way. And what is fascinating here is there is only one way. In the psalm, it says, teach me your way, O Lord. So God is wanting us to know and to walk in his way. There are only two ways we can walk. Either we walk in error or we walk in the truth. Now, our problem, of course, is that we tend to move between the two throughout the day, depending on our mindset. But the psalmist wants to steadfastly walk only in God's truth. He no longer wants to be in error. Does that describe you? What are your wants? What are my wants? Now, second, the last sentence in the verse, unite my heart to fear your name, speaks volumes and sheds light on how we as Christians can always walk in the truth, or should always want to walk in the truth. The psalmist prays that God would unite his heart to fear God's name. Now, as I've stated in many articles and podcasts previously, our growing fear of offending the Lord is where it all starts for the Christian. If we have no fear of ever offending God, we will always be walking in error. It won't matter how great we might feel about this, that, or the other thing, if we are not living with a growing, dedicated fear of offending the Lord, we will always be in disobedience. It is that fear of offending the Lord that puts and keeps us on the path of truth. Notice the psalmist concludes that he wants God to unite his heart. What this means, of course, is that with every fiber of his being, the psalmist wants to fear offending God far more than fear of offending man. This is it in a nutshell. And of course, without exception, it takes time for that to come to fruition. The other day I was mowing my lawn, and as I did so, I repeated verses that I'm currently memorizing, including this one, Psalm 86:11. I turned it into a prayer to God, realizing that my desire to fear offending the Lord comes originally from God. And I've mentioned that before. I cannot create that fear in me. I can cultivate the groundwork, so to speak, in my heart so that it more easily grows, but I can't create it. That's something God does, and he will do in those who seek him in this way, to walk in his truth. You know, I do not wake up daily, and neither does anyone else, with perfect fear of offending the Lord. I know that while my fear of offending the Lord today might be greater than it was yesterday, hopefully, depending on how much I am willing to cooperate with God, I know full well that it is a work of God that actually starts when I receive salvation, when you receive salvation. And we've mentioned that before. However, I must be willing to allow God to cause that to grow within me so that the fear of offending the Lord becomes the motivating factor in my life. And this is done by the transforming of our renewed minds, Romans 12:2. Do you want to grow in your fear of offending the Lord? Do you want that to be the very thing that guides you and helps you make correct decisions and keeps a hand over your mouth and thoughts so that what you think, say, and do increasingly brings him glory because you're increasingly walking in that truth? Without a proper fear of offending the Lord, that is not going to happen. All that matters to God is what motivates us in thought, word, and deed. And we're going to talk about this in upcoming podcasts based on Jeremiah 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. So hopefully you'll join me for those. I cannot think of anything in our lives that this concept does not apply to. Can you? It is going to guide us in what we eat and drink. It's going to guide us in whether or not we attend church and which church we attend. It's going to guide us in our giving and our interaction with others, both Christians and the unsaved. The fear of offending the Lord is the foundation of truly righteous living. Unfortunately, it is sadly lacking in most within Christendom. This is why there are so many who appear to be apostatizing. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power to truly save and transform. 2 Timothy 3:5. I was having a discussion recently about CV with a relative, and it got a bit heated. He said some things that I could simply not agree with at all, and I said some things he thought equally absurd. Finally, we just changed the subject and talked about something else because it was clearly not a productive conversation. And what I learned from that is that I need to fear offending the Lord during these types of conversations or simply not have them. Even if it turns out that what I believe about CV is truth, use my reasoning. I cannot, even if it turns out that what I believe about CV is the truth, I cannot use my reasoning as a hammer over someone's head in order to wake them up. That's like trying to convince people of their need for Jesus. We cannot convince them. I can't convince anybody of anything. That is God's job. I can simply share and let my words do what they might, and I must continue in prayer for the other person. What Christians need today is to have fully united hearts so that everything we say, think, or do is guided by a fear of offending the Lord. Now, without this, we are simply boats without sails on a windy sea. And we need to stop being that way. Well, thank you for joining me. And I pray until we meet again that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.